We know that the book of Revelation is an absolutely fascinating book, particularly for believers. Now, mind you, there are a number of preachers and a number of congregations that very rarely deal with the book of Revelation or with the prophet Daniel. The reason for that is that they believe it's just too difficult to understand. And admittedly, there are parts of both prophecies, the prophecies of the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, that sometimes are difficult to understand, but there are parts that are so clear. And those are the parts that we've been dealing with over the past number of weeks. I believe that it is vitally important for every Christian everywhere to know what the book of Revelation has to say, what the prophet Daniel has to say, because we are nearing those times, we are closer than we ever have been before, where Jesus is going to return to this earth. We'll have a little bit more to say about that in a moment. There are some people who believe that the prophecies of Revelation, and indeed Daniel, have already occurred. The truth is, the prophecies of Daniel, some of them have already occurred, and there are yet others to occur, yet in our lifetime. I number among those who believe that the prophecies of the book of Revelation have not occurred yet, that they are about to occur, and we're not far from it. There are three points I'd like you to remember this morning. Number one is judgment is coming. Number two, judgment is coming for non-believers or unbelievers. And number three, judgment is not coming for believers. So three important points, plus a couple of other things at the end of that. We've looked at six of the seven seals of the book of Revelation. Do you remember what happened? Supernaturally, John, the Apostle John, who was the oldest living apostle at the time, was transported from the Isle of Patmos to glory. He was in the presence of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He was there. All the angels of heaven were there, and so was John. And John had an experience which would be absolutely difficult to record effectively for even us to understand. But John noticed there was a scroll. It was a scroll and it had seven seals on the scroll, and the scroll was sealed. You couldn't get in it. And he began to weep, and he wept bitterly because no one could be found to unseal the seals and open the scroll. Aha! But then he turned around, and there was Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God. He was the one who was worthy to open the seals. So he took the scroll and he began to unseal each seal and unroll the scroll. And in each of these, every time a seal was unsealed and the scroll unrolled, there was a new judgment that was coming upon the earth, coming upon a Christ-rejecting earth, coming upon people who never put their trust in Jesus as Savior. I'm going to show you a timeline. If we have it on the screen, please. This is the timeline that I drew a number of years ago. It may not be perfect by any means, but it does take the show. No, not that one. It's sort of got a bar graph on it. Ted, where are you? It's coming. Not that one. I hope you're absorbing all these because they're really good messages. Not that one. And not that one. Ted's on his way up, and they're throwing their hands up. I'm going to describe it to you, and then if the screenshot comes up, then you'll be able to see it visually. So put on your imagination and just picture this. We are here right now. This is the church age. The church age began at Pentecost, and it carries through until what is known as the rapture. The rapture has not yet occurred. It is going to occur at some point. When the rapture occurs, what does that mean? It means that every true believer, dead and alive, will be taken up to be with Jesus forever and forever. That's a praise God item. Now, when we get to the rapture, following the rapture, not immediately, but shortly thereafter, there will be a period of tribulation. It's called a seven-year tribulation. This is what's referred to in Daniel's prophecy. prophecy. This is also what is referred to in the book of Revelation. So these various seals that are being unsealed and the scroll unrolled, aha, there it is. When these are being revealed, then we will, that's what's going to happen during the beginning of tribulation. Now, if we can get a full screen on that, that would be terrific. Well, here we are. On the left-hand side, you see the circle up in the upper left. It says, we are here. That's the church age. It's been 2,000 years plus. Now, at the end of the church age comes the rapture. That's what that arrow up means, going up. And then there's a seven-year tribulation, and then there's the lesser tribulation, the mid-tribulation, and the great tribulation. The last half of the tribulation period is going to be greater in terms of tribulation than the first half. Aha. Uh-huh. Now, if I didn't know better, I think the rapture had occurred and everything had disappeared. But you're still here, so it hasn't occurred yet. There we are. Now we're back to it. Now, you see the tribulation with the lesser and greater 7 years. At the down arrow means that's when Jesus will be returning with all those who are in heaven, you and me. We've gone up in the rapture. We're coming back with him. And it's the end of the tribulation period. That's when the battle of Armageddon is going to be fought at that time. And then Jesus is going to conquer everything. And then we get into 1,000 years of Christ's reign. Keep that thing still. Anyway, so then we have the 1,000 years and into a new creation in eternity. Can somebody just praise God that we got through that all right? Anyway, let's leave the slide up because I'll refer to it occasionally. Now, we've seen through chapters 6 and 7 that Revelation describe what is known as the tribulation period. Now, you know and I know that people have gone through periods of tribulation. I think that the result of the earthquake that happened off Jamaica, people are going through a certain tribulation. I think of what happens in England with Brexit. There's a tribulation going on over there. I think that the wars that are taking place anywhere in the Middle East, it's a time of tribulation. When we think of these things, there is tribulation. This flu that's going on in China at the moment and seems to be spreading worldwide, these are points of tribulation. However, it is not the tribulation. These are all hints as to what the tribulation is going to be like. The tribulation is yet to come, and it'll be for approximately 7 years. It will be a reign of terror. This will be a reign by the Antichrist and by the false prophet. They will be reigning during this time, and people will have to show their obedience to him. It is not going to be a pleasant time, and it precedes Christ's final return to earth at the point of Armageddon when he begins his 1,000-year reign here on earth. Each of the six seals that were unsealed, as we looked at them over the past number of weeks, have brought judgment. The seventh seal has not yet come. Now, remember, I asked you to remember 3 points. Number one is judgment is coming. Number two, judgment is coming for unbelievers. Unbelievers. If you're an unbeliever this morning, judgment is coming. From the above points that I mentioned, we can draw a conclusion. The conclusion is that the world in general, and many people in the world specifically, have rejected Jesus the Christ. Now, just cast your mind's eye over the world for a moment. I want you to think about the country of India. There are millions of Christians in India, but there are far more non-Christians in India than there are Christians. Satan has blinded the eyes of many of the people in India to the true gospel salvation message. Think of China. China's been in the news lately. There are millions of Christians in China. Many of them are underground. Many of them are very quiet Christians because of the persecution that they'll receive. But despite the fact there are millions of Christians in China, there are many more millions who are not Christian, who have rejected Jesus Christ. Think of every country that is Muslim in the world, to say the least. They have a distorted image as to who Jesus is. The Quran mentions Jesus, not the word Jesus as we would know it, but ISA, that's their word for Jesus, but it's a distorted image of who Jesus is. And so every Muslim is totally confused about Jesus. They have rejected him. There was a time when Africa was considered to be the dark continent, and people the world over sent missionaries in to present the light of the gospel to the dark continent. And millions of people have become believers. Many of you will know that I spent 2 different periods of time in Kenya, in Africa, on a missions trip. And I can tell you that many of the people, evangelical people, were hot for the faith of Jesus Christ. They were alive and active, and many of them that we dealt with, because I went with an Anglican evangelist, were of the Anglican communion. But their being on fire for the Lord was absolutely marvelous to hear about, wanting to hear and craving to hear the Word of God. You and I have Bibles in our homes. People in this community have Bibles in their homes. But many people in this community may have a Bible, but they do not crave the Word of God. We need to be praying that people will crave the Word of God and get into it and read it and come to the point of understanding what it is all about. Africa was the dark continent when we think of all this, but there are more non-Christians in Africa today than there are Christians. And we don't confine this to India and China and the Far East nations and Africa. When we think about it, even here in North America and Central America and South America, there are Christians, but there are more non-Christians than there are Christians. I've often thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of us were charged by the Holy Spirit to share our faith with another person or another person or another person? It wouldn't be long before everybody in the world would be confronted with the message of Jesus Christ. Sadly, for whatever reason, this has not happened. There are people who believe that Christianity is going to spread and spread and spread until the point where everybody in the world is going to become a Christian, and then they will welcome Jesus to come to set up his reign, set up his kingdom. But that isn't what the Scripture tells us. The Scripture tells us the world is not going to become more and more Christian, is not going to become better and better. It's going to be worse and worse, and it's going to culminate during this tribulation period. When we think of it, even during the difficult times, even during the tribulation times, mini tribulation or major tribulation, the gospel of Jesus Christ continues to be presented, and people continue to come to him. And when they come to him, Jesus will give to them eternal life with him forever and ever and ever. But at the same time, there are an equal number and a greater number who absolutely reject Jesus as Savior. And let me tell you something. Judgment will come upon them. In the book of Hebrews, we read this. It is appointed unto mankind, men and women, to die once, and after that, the judgment. Many people think we die, life is over, that's it. Nothing further happens. Nothing could be further from the truth. When we die, physically, something happens. Spiritually, we leave our body, and we're going to leave our body at that moment of death, whenever it is, and we're either going to go into glory with Jesus, or we're going to go in glory, into hell without him. That's the choice. That's where we are. And people who do not put their trust in Jesus are hell-bound, not heaven-bound. So I asked us to think of 3 points. Number 1, that judgment is coming. Number 2, judgment is coming for unbelievers. And number 3, judgment is not coming on believers. One of these days, according to the Holy Spirit's writing in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, at the trumpet call of God. That we refer to as the rapture. Jesus will come in the clouds of the air, and when he comes in that way, every believer, now all the dead, bodies who are dead, bodies in the ground, their spirit is going to be with the Lord. There will be a reuniting of their body and their spirit at that moment. And then in a nanosecond, after the dead leave their graves and reunite it with their spirit, with a new body, Everybody who is alive and believers, a believer in Jesus, will be caught up to be with him, and we will be transformed either in that nanosecond when the Lord calls or on our way up to greet him, one or the other, and we will be in his presence forever. That's what believers have to look forward to. We are going to be with him forever and forever. Unbelievers, however, will be left behind on this earth. They'll be the ones who have rejected Jesus as Savior. They will be the recipients of God's judgment. And sadly, even though the nation of Israel, it was God's chosen people, many of them have rejected Jesus. They rejected him at the time of the crucifixion. They rejected him all down through the years, for whatever reason. And God is also going to come with judgment on the nation of Israel. At the same time, God in his mercy, during that tribulation period, that seven-year period that you see up on the screen, during that time, God is sending 144 Jewish evangelists out to talk to the world about Jesus. Give them yet another opportunity to accept him and not reject him. Six seals have been opened. Six judgments have been declared. And now let us read the Word of God. So if you could put on the scripture reading that we find in Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. Let us hear the Word of God. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, hurled it on the earth, and there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, this very first verse of Scripture speaks of a half-hour interlude of silence in heaven. We note that this was immediately after the seventh seal was opened, but before the judgments were given. I wonder what it would be like for there to be absolute silence for a half an hour in heaven. What a contrast it would be from what we read in the earlier chapters about the 24 elders and about the multitudes of angels bowing down and praising God. Blessed is the name of the Lord. They're bowing before him and they're worshiping him. And then all of a sudden, there's silence in all of heaven. Someone has said, this is probably the lull before the storm. The seventh seal will be the greatest judgments on this earth up until the time they occur. I think that the enormity of what is about to take place is beyond our imagination. Someone has suggested that the silence in heaven may even be as a result of God contemplating what it is he's going to do, what he's going to do for every unbeliever in the world at that time. Remember, the true believers in Jesus have been extracted. Some during that tribulation will become believers, but most will not. The seventh seal tells us about seven angels who are to blow seven trumpets. We'll have more to say about the seven trumpets next week. The seal is opened. Seven angels who stand before God have been given seven trumpets, presumably one trumpet per angel. We notice that these seven angels stand in a position of prominence. They stand before God, the scripture says. That's what we read in the book of Revelation. They stand before God. They are the ones to whom God has given the responsibility to unleash and announce the coming judgments that are about to be proclaimed on the people on earth, on the people who are rejecters of Jesus. I pray that in our midst this morning, there is no one who has rejected Jesus. I pray that in our midst this morning, every one of us looks to him as our Savior and as our Lord. And remember this, there is no middle ground. You either accept him or you haven't. If you haven't, you've rejected him. Keep it in mind. We need to look to Jesus as our Savior. Then we read this, another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. Now, we note that this golden censer had an incense, but also along with all the prayers of the saints. Now, keep in mind this word saint. You've heard me give the explanation before. A saint is not a person that some denomination has elevated to the point of sainthood. No, saints, according to the Word of God, every believer is a saint. I've often said we may not look like it, may not sound like it, but the fact is if we're a believer in Jesus Christ, we are a saint. And the prayers of all the saints somehow accompany this golden censer and along with the incense that is there. Some have wondered whether or not this special angel, if this special angel might indeed be Jesus himself, because it was only the high priest on a once-a-year basis who would have the golden censer. Now we see this angel with the golden censer. Might it be Jesus, our high priest, in glory with this golden censer? I don't know. Someday we will find out. But remember this, the prayers of all the saints, your prayers and my prayers and the prayers of people during the tribulation period are gathered before the Lord. And so we praise God that they are coming. And the saints, all means all. That means in some way that the saints are going to be involved as the priesthood of all believers will be involved in some sort of priestly activities on behalf of Jesus. And remember, just to further this a little bit further, that when you read in the Old Testament about the angel of the Lord, in every case, or at least maybe 99.9% of the cases, the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is actually Jesus. It's Jesus, a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Jesus, and see him in the Old Testament. Those who looked on the face of God in the Old Testament, God is spirit, doesn't have a body. They would have to be looking on the face of God. They'd be looking on the face of Jesus. So next time you're reading in the Old Testament, you come across the angel of the Lord, just think, is this you, Lord Jesus? Is this you? And it'll change your perspective in how you are receiving that particular passage of Scripture. Scripture always shows that God reluctantly hands out his judgment. Think over the centuries. The earth experienced the judgment of the flood. But Peter tells us that Noah was a person of righteousness, and he preached righteousness, and he preached either by example or by verbally about what was needed. The message came to the people. They rejected. And then the flood came. Do you remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah, angels were sent to warn Lot and his family to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they were warned and they were taken out. And then the judgment came upon. Likewise, true believers will be taken out of the world before the great judgments that will be coming. That's why I believe the rapture is coming any day now before the tribulation begins. It's important for us to realize that the book of Revelation was John's first-hand account and experience of all that he saw and experienced when he was supernaturally moved from the Isle of Patmos into the presence of Jesus. It must have been very difficult for him to see all that he saw, to see it and then record it and have it in his mind. I think that these thoughts would be indelibly impressed upon him, never to be erased from his mind. And yet he was able to put it all down on parchment for you and for me. What a marvelous story it is. And if you and I saw what John saw, we would find it equally difficult as well. I suspect it was very difficult for John the Apostle. So what's the conclusion of it all? We need to remind ourselves in this day and age that God is sovereign. Absolutely everything is going to occur according to his plan, according to his timetable, and according to his word. In order to avoid these final judgments, people of the world need to know that Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sins. People need to know that it is eternally important for them to put all of their trust in Jesus as Savior. People need to know that there is a judgment day coming and that God is not going to be mocked. I may choose to believe, that people never did go into space, but that does not change the fact. people may choose to believe that Jesus is not who he says he is, but that does not change the fact. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We were able to sing about that this morning. Jesus is the Savior of the world. People of the world may believe that Jesus is not who he said he was. That doesn't alter the fact. The fact is, there is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They created us. They devised a plan to redeem us. The plan is simple. Put your trust in Jesus. Put all of your trust in him. Believe that he is not just the Savior of the world. Believe that he is your Savior and that he saved you from an eternity in hell. As we gather on the communion table shortly, let's give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ for his gift of salvation, for his gift of, first of all, for his gift of creation, then his gift of salvation, then the gift of his Holy Spirit, alive and active within each of us, and his gift of eternal life with him forever and ever and ever.